Cape Talk. Family Matters.
Before we get to Family Matters, I'm laughing at an SMS that just hit my screen asking, has Auntie Pat got a job at White House now? It sounds just like her. I think that every time I hear that advert, they've got the voice absolutely spot on. I don't think she's in the market for voiceover work, but whoever it is sounds just like our mayor, don't they? Thanks for noticing. Right, on to Family Matters. If you're a mom or a dad with small people in the house, you'll know that there are days, and many of them, where you just feel like you need an extra pair of hands to help from time to time. And for those who work in particular, it might be from more than time to time, which is where the concept of an au pair can really come in handy. Someone who is available on a regular basis to help with the school lifts and the homework supervision and much more. Not only can it be a godsend to a busy mom or dad, but of course it's a wonderful employment opportunity for those who might be contemplating a long-term career in childcare or who want a chance to work overseas. So in Family Matters today, we want to focus on what it takes to become an au pair, what would be expected of you when you take on that role, what the benefits can be, and of course what you need to be aware of if this is something that you are considering, either for a gap year or as an opportunity to go and work abroad, for example. If you've had personal experience either as an au pair yourself or as somebody who has employed one and you want to chat to us about the drawbacks and the positives it brought into your life, please do give us a call on 021-446-0567 or send us an SMS to 31567. If you have any questions about the job, maybe you are that person who matriculated last year and is sitting there thinking, I'm not quite sure what to do and how to go about it if this is something I'm considering, you're welcome to phone in with those questions because we have two guests joining us with intimate experience of this field. With me in studio is Sunette Nell, who's the marketing manager of distance learning institution Oxbridge Academy and herself a former au pair. Lovely to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And then joining us on the line is Lillian Hellerman, who is the owner of Au Pair at Home, which is a Cape Town based agency that places au pairs with families who need them. Lillian, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
We'll get to Lillian with some practical questions in a couple of minutes' time. But first, I want to chat about what it takes to become an au pair from a qualifications point of view. Sunette, there are lots of misperceptions about what this job does and does not entail and what sort of training you need for it. And by way of introducing that concept, let me share with you a message that came through on WhatsApp from a listener who heard we were talking about this. She wrote to say the following: as an au pair, your job description is endless. Not only do you look after the kids, but you become part of the family, run errands, do school runs, take pets to the vet, manage other staff, do the shopping, etc. It is so much more than a glorified babysitting job. And that was signed by Anonymous, who was sitting outside school waiting to pick up her charges. Sunette, she's right. It's much more than glorified babysitting. And in fact, it's often backed up by professional qualifications.
Absolutely, because the industry has become so busy now. People need to work full time. Like you said, they really don't have time to look after their kids. Au pair has become a very profitable and a stable income. Since about 20 years ago, when I was an au pair myself, things have changed drastically. The demand is such that people are looking for qualified professionals. So there are various qualifications out there that you could look at. It really depends on the needs of the family and themselves, and it depends on where you want to go work, how strict they would be. But most of them are looking at either a short course in au pairing or something more formal like a national diploma in educare or child ECD, which is early childhood development. Yeah. So I think if you're thinking about this direction, you really need to research and go and look at some job ads and look at the requirements. What are people asking for? If it's a formal qualification, then you know where to start.
Because it used to be if you had a driver's license and you perhaps had done a bit of babysitting, it might be good enough. But these days, families are looking for first aid qualifications as well.
Absolutely.
As well as that element of stimulating the kids, helping them with homework, etc.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You need to be very attentive and be abreast with what happens with the child's development. It's really about early childhood development and what steps do they need to follow. So you need to be observant when you look after these kids, like when should they be starting to walk? When should they talk? How are they holding a crayon? All of those little things you do only learn through formal education.
Okay. You yourself, as you mentioned, were an au pair 20 years ago, so it's been a while. But tell us briefly about your experience. What did you have to do in that role?
Well, I loved it, and the SMS summed it really. It really summed it up. I had to look after four kids by the ages of 7, 5, 2, and 1.
Wow.
So I was there for a lot of firsts, first words, first steps, first tooth falling out, falling out, I mean. It was really lovely, but not only looking after the kids and helping them to grow, I had to do housework. Yeah, so stuff like ironing, cleaning, helping with cooking, driving them to school. It really was a full-on job, and I became so part of the family after a year that it was heartbreaking for me to leave. Hmm. So it was fulfilling at the same time becoming part of another family.
Now, in your position as marketing manager at Oxbridge Academy, obviously you're looking at what sort of courses people are applying for and where the demand is at its highest. Have you seen an uptick in demand like for those Educare courses you mentioned?
Absolutely. Over the past year, we've seen a tremendous uptake in people wanting to study ECD, meaning early childhood development, specifically Educare. Within that field of interest, you also have the OPE courses. Those are non-accredited at our college. They are short learning programs. So they give you the skills you need and the formal background, but if you need a full qualification like a national diploma, for instance, we would recommend that you do one of the QCTO accredited courses. But seeing an uptake, most definitely, as it's one of the top five now.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think that speaks to a change in attitude or perception perhaps about the role of the au pair, that people are starting to see this as potentially a career option that you can pursue as a career rather than as a stopgap between other things?
Definitely. It's no longer just a stopgap. It's a 9 to 5. For most people, starting 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe ending 6 o'clock in the evening, then you have your weekends off, but you structure your day in such a way, and people applying for these positions no longer just want to do it just to fill a few bucks here and there. Mm-hmm. It really is a career.
I'd love to hear from those listening who've pursued that career, either full-time or perhaps a career on a stepping stone to something else. I mean, here's a WhatsApp saying, I was a nanny in London for 3 years, and the difference between the two is vast. She thinks au pair is a very misunderstood title. How would you distinguish between the two and the perception of the nanny versus the au pair, Sinead?
My perception is that our au pair really is more focused on the child development. So really looking at the growth, looking at how the child develops. Like I said earlier, where are they in their growth process? Whereas a nanny would, probably do housework, also help out here and there, but they're not as involved. So this is a very much, au pair is a really much involved emotional connection you feel with these people because you become a second mom to them.
Let's bring Lillian in at this point. As I mentioned at the start, Lillian Hellerman is the owner of Au Pair at Home, which is an agency based in Cape Town that has been active since 1994. So you've got a good long history of placing au pairs with families. Lillian, do you agree with the need to distinguish between the nanny versus the au pair roles?
Yes, and it's actually very interesting what Sinead just said there, because the lady that you spoke about with the SMS, she was talking about a nanny in London. So we have a very big difference, and that's why we actually ended up calling au pairs here what actually they call in England nannies. And exactly how Sinead described it there, she was referring to a nanny being more of a domestic worker and person who does childcare, whereas au pairing here, we've actually taken the word which was meant to be an overseas exchange program and actually brought it into South Africa and mean it more as an au pair who takes the place of mum and dad when they're not there.
Okay.
You know, so that could be, as she described, in the early, you know, like the early childhood, that you'll be an au pair with a family from when mum and dad both go back to work. So you're going to need to have the right childcare programs and first aid and all of those things. But I think the place that you haven't discussed at the moment is how many people more need the afternoon educator, which is what an au pair is, you know, once the kids are off to school.
That's where I've got personal experience there, Lillian, because I was that mom who had a child who needed to get to, for example, an extramural class at a time when I was on air presenting a radio show and could not be in two places at once. And it became, she was more involved in homework support, in transporting my child for me, and to know that she was in a safe pair of hands. I mean, that was a very short-term fix for an immediate problem. But for me, there are families probably listening to this who have au pairs who work with them for several years, don't they?
So I think that what Sinead's describing there is more the person who is going to be the professional au pair, and there are lots of them who are that, where you're going to start off with young babies and carry through maybe for the next 5 years, 6 years until they go to school. And then often you find as the children are going further up in school, you're actually meeting more of the university educated or the student who has had the right kind of childcare and has a first aid course, who can actually help them with their after school education.
Okay, so it means it's not a one-size-fits-all, in other words.
Not at all. It really goes around that family need. And I would say that au pairs, on average, probably, I mean, I've got some families who've au pairs sometimes it's been there for 10 years or more, but I would say the majority turn around in 2 years to 3 years because the needs of the children have changed and the needs of the au pair have changed.
Okay. Lillian, I was going to say, a lot of people are sending me messages asking what the going rate is to pay an au pair. Obviously, it's going to vary according to the individual situation and what they're required to do. But as a ballpark figure, are we talking a salary that's a couple of thousand rand that's into bigger digits than that?
I think this has become part of the problem because even students today are needing a decent amount of money, and a lot of them have opted to work with au pairs. So the hourly rate of an au pair that we advocate for 2018 is 78 rand an hour if it's over 20 hours a week, and under that 80 rand an hour. But we always like to go on a monthly salary.
Okay.
Because we find that hiring an au pair by the hour actually creates an unstable placement. Because if that au pair doesn't know what she's going to cover on her month because, you know, days are being cancelled all the time, she's going to find herself earning less than her expected 4,000, 6,000, and then we'll look for another job.
Right, yeah. It's quite a staggering SMS in from Tony, who says, I own a daycare centre and I recently offered a young lady the role of a position at my school. She was interested until I mentioned the salary because she laughed at me when I mentioned the figure I had in mind, saying that as an au pair, she's currently earning 23,000 rand per month. Now, I mean, does that sound like a full-time position, I can only imagine.
That's
full-time
position, yeah. And that, I would say, is someone who's probably been in the field for a while, and that is high even for that. The sad part for au pairs is that when they start off, even 10 or 15 years later, working as an au pair, their salary does not increase as much as, say, if you were working in the business environment. So there isn't as much scope to go up. So I must say myself, I haven't placed someone at 23,000, but I have placed someone at 20, at 15, at 18. But that's not an afternoon au pair. An afternoon au pair can be from, let's go, 4,000 rand a month, being like 3 hours a week sort of thing. Well, not 3 hours a week. Let's go 10 to 15 hours a week. And I would say a 20-hour week is just under 7,000 rand a month.
Okay, thanks for clearing that. Tony, maybe you need to offer again. Right, Lillian, just in terms of practicalities, I mean, we've heard Sinead talking about the demand for actual qualifications to back up the position, that it's more than just having a driver's license and the time available to drive a child from A to B. Are you seeing that demand from the families who are coming to you looking for au pairs, that they want someone who has, for example, a first aid qualification or the early childhood development?
I would say first aid is needed under 10 years old. After that, what they're really looking for is au pair experience or pretty much reference check backed up childcare experience that's relevant to their children's age group. So you do get, but here's another example. If you've got a really, really good student type who is at university and she can set very good study standards for them and be the right kind of role model, they might say, okay, she's not as experienced, but you know what, she's got something to offer our children. She can role model our children. That's also a very important role.
Okay.
So that's why so much is based around the need and the age of the children.
Lillian, some excellent points. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. If listeners would like to reach out to you to find out more either about placing an au pair in their own family or perhaps about becoming one, how do they make contact with you?
Okay, either our email, well, first of all, we have a website, auparathome.co.za, or our landlines, 021-712-9511, or also email auparathome, all one word, all lowercase, at iafrica.com.
Lillian Hellerman, thank you, owner of Au Pair at Home. And I'd like to also leave some contact details for the Oxbridge Academy. Sinead Nell has been with us in the studio, the marketing manager. If you'd like to explore your options about perhaps going through one of those online, those distance learning courses, how do they make contact with you?
Easiest would just be to go to Google and go search us Oxbridge Academy. Our website is www.oxbridgeacademy.edu.za, or you can phone us 021-1100-200. You can also go to Facebook Messenger, pop us a message, then we'll get right back to you. Or you can even WhatsApp us on 063-951-8200.
Sinead Nell, great to have you with us as well. And to those asking, yes, we will absolutely make this available as a podcast. Thanks for the interest.